with Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniel. And Mr. Daniel, I wanted to bring this to your attention. As I'm sure you are aware, there's been concern raised by a number of parents in the Normal West football program, specifically those involved with the Gridiron Club, which has been a booster, a fundraising arm of sorts for the football program. After Coach Darren Hess had resigned, a number of them came to the meeting, the Unified Board meeting last week, and basically suggested that Coach Hess had been forced out based on what was perceived as funding improprieties or some financial dealings that were not above board. And I know you can't speak to Hess's resignation particularly as a personnel matter, but what would you like to clear up? What do you feel is perhaps being mischaracterized in this issue?
Well, first of all, I just want to say that our boosters, they are not in any way at fault for any wrongdoing. They're absolutely critical for supporting of our programs, and in no way should be implicated in this. We have some internal dealings in regards to how coaches are paid in that process, and it came to our attention, and we naturally followed through with that, and we had to do some self-reporting to the IIHSA, and we did so, and with that, we're about correcting those internal issues. So, again, nothing in regards to the Gridiron or our booster organizations. It has to deal with some funding and how we distribute those funds, and we'll continue to work on that to make that right.
Can you say what steps are being done by the district to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Yes. Well, first of all, we're ensuring that all of our coaches understand the process of how coaches are to be funded. Again, in compliance with the IHSA school, and it happens to be bylaw 2.071, but we need to follow that. And as importantly, we're looking at board policy, which is 4.90, to further align ourselves with the IHSA, and to so nothing of this nature would happen again in the future.
Sure. And for those who may not be aware, the IHSA had indicated that this is all fine as long as it is done through the school board and they have signed off on it. Does this then suggest that the school board for Unit 5 will be adopting or approving pay for these coaches in the future?
We'll be working with the policy committee, and at this point in time, when that revision is known, we'll let you know, or we'll be able to provide more information along those lines. But I will say this, that if you can imagine the number of dollars that flow through student activity funds, it's rather substantial. And I would say that's in the millions of dollars. So, again, that's one of these things that we need to verify that the board does know. And right now, part of our contract language says that there are X number of positions available. And that's part of our contract with our teachers group. And we want to make sure that we follow that correctly as well. And I think if I look at the IHSA ruling in regards to their bylaw, that they understand the importance that the board must be approving finally of any employment of a coach. And it must adhere to contracts. Otherwise, you could have some, I would think, some rather unique situations happening that would not be truly beneficial to the nature of the sport, to the nature of being competitive and having, I would say, a level playing field. So with that said, you know, we're already in the process of examining those things. We're already doing things in regard to talking to our athletic directors. But this is really about any student activity. So we think this needs to be, we need to examine this closely as we look at all of our student activity funds and the people that are, the way those funds are utilized and ensuring that is in compliance with our contracts.
And this predates your arrival as a superintendent in Unit 5. How was this first brought to your attention?
Well, we have had some discussions along these lines, and I will tell you that as I look at this information, no one did anything on purpose. It wasn't in any way, okay, let's try to figure out how to get around the system. I think it was just, hey, we're trying to do what's best for our programs and trying to help our kids. So with that said, it started to surface just because of some internal auditing that we had done, and we grew aware of it, and as such, we need to remedy it. And by that, meaning if we are in violation of an IHSA policy, we need to let IHSA know, and we'll deal with it. And that's what we've done, and we'll continue to do that in the future.
Will there be any disciplinary actions taken against anybody on the payroll at Unit 5?
Well, again, that would be an internal personnel issue, but I will tell you that there are things that are being done to rectify the situation, and that involves us, again, evaluating the entire, all levels of our organization and all the individuals who are part of that and ensuring that this doesn't happen again.
Sure. And lastly, I guess this serves as another reminder of just one additional layer that coaches have to deal with that maybe they didn't have to deal with, say, 20, 30 years ago because of the financial state of affairs at a lot of schools. Is there a deeper concern that matters like this, that hoops that coaches supposedly have to jump through will discourage more of them from either staying or even going into the coaching field?
You know, I'm as a former coach myself and having colleagues and part of the coaching fraternity, I can tell you it's a love of the sport and love of kids that bring both coaches to the playing fields and into the courts, as well as teachers to this profession. And I think as long as we have people who are truly thinking first and foremost about the love of how I work with kids and help kids and how that impacts the character, I think we'll always have folks, I surely hope so, that we have folks who step forward and do that. But I also will tell you this, that it is more difficult as things become, the expectations become higher and the resources become less and less. So again, I don't want this to in any way discourage a person who may be interested in education or in coaching, because I think that is a, as we've heard even just last week, when kids interact with adults and it's a positive, constructive environment, it's a very rewarding experience for our kids, and it's lifetime. It's life. It's a life learning experience, and they will remember this for a lifetime. So again, I will always encourage people to get into our profession, and the more qualified and the people with levels of expertise that can help us, we're always interested. So I hope this is not, a negative in the long term, although it is a very complex issue, and we're going to deal with it.
Sure. And I guess one last thing to follow up in regards to the Gridiron Club. Have you or has anyone from the administration since reached out to them to sort of clarify the district's position on this? One person we'd heard from on the club said that they had some backlash from what was perceived by some as wrongdoing on their part, had a couple of their board members resign. They said they lost some sponsors. Do you feel that you're back level with the Gridiron Club again?
I can't answer that question. I do know that we've had contact with board members with Gridiron, as well as, of course, our building level. And again, this is no way showing that they've done anything in error. It was a matter of, this is internal within the school system. And if my last comment on that would be, they should no way be thought of as doing anything wrong.
Sure. Well, Dr. Daniel, we appreciate the time as always and for helping to clarify, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Eric. Have a good one.
All right.